Well, I want to wish you a happy Independence Day, a happy 4th of July. This is going to be a fun episode because as we celebrate the birth of our nation and what has made America special, there's a pretty cool way that we can tie that into sports media and sports broadcasting, because there is a question we can ponder, and we can think about, are sports broadcasters really independent?
Welcome to the Sportscasters Club Radio Show, where it's all about becoming a better sportscaster and a better sports fan. And now, your host, a man who has trained sportscasters at Marist College, the Connecticut School of Broadcasting, and Fordham University's WFUV Radio, Rick Schultz.
Welcome to the Sportscasters Club online radio show. I am Rick Schultz. Great to have you with us for another episode. This is a fun one because it's a holiday week, a holiday weekend, depending on when you're listening to this. Independence Day, the birth of America. If you've never been to Philadelphia, if you've never read any great books about our nation's founding, boy, I think you should. Something so important and obviously something that many people have forgotten today and just don't understand because, I mean, I don't need to tell you that in so many ways our country just does not resemble what it was founded to be. Some of those great, but in a lot of ways, philosophical ways, some of the core ways, we've certainly gone wildly astray. But that is neither here nor there. We're going to talk about sports broadcasting. And during this Independence Day week, this Independence Day, this special time, we think about sports media and are sports broadcasters actually independent? Kind of just a play on words, Independence Day, and are sports media members independent? But it's really an interesting thought when you dig into it. This is a story that we published many years ago, probably 10 years ago, on sportscastersclub.com. And that was the title, Are Sportscasters Really Independent? And it's a question that a lot of up-and-coming young sports media professionals ask, because a lot of media members, and I've taught so many of them in college settings, in private settings, everyone wants to be that independent voice, that person that can go out there, shoot from the hip, say what they want to say. They want to be Stephen A. Smith. They want to be Chris Russo. They want to be the person that's going to go out there like Colin Cowherd and say the controversial things that a Jim Rome would say, or any of the legends of sports media. So most people coming up, they want to be independent, and they think that when they finally make it in this business, that they're going to be able to say whatever they want. They're going to be able to air their opinions. They're going to be as independent as you could imagine because they are the talent. And they're going to be able to say what's on their mind, what's in their heart, and what they believe regarding the world of sport and otherwise, because we've seen sports media deviate from the ball fields and the courts and into other areas. And in many cases, like ESPN, they've paid a price for it. But talking about, are sportscasters really independent? It's really interesting because, I mean, I can talk about my personal background when I was young in my 20s, and even before that, working for a couple different professional baseball teams in the minor leagues. One was a Tampa Bay Devil Ray, Texas Rangers affiliate, and I broadcast, called games there for 6 years, and not once did they ever tell me what to say or what not to say. Can you believe that? Not once. And I was young at the time. And I think that says a lot about the management there and the faith that they had not only in their product, but I guess the faith that they had in the broadcaster that I wasn't going to go out there and say anything to embarrass the organization. I worked for the radio station, not for the organization. But neither the station or the team ever told me what to say or what not to say. The farthest they would go is to occasionally have a sponsor that sponsored that night at the park. And they would ask me to put that sponsor on for an inning or two to talk about, you know, a bank or a local business, something like that. And so that was cool. Why not? I had no problem with that. That was not telling me what to ask or what to say, but that was as far as it went. So that was really a case where, as a broadcaster, I was independent. I did have, for the most part, free rein. Never was told what to say or what not to say. I'll tell you another story that occurred after I left that team. Worked for a AA affiliate. And in this situation, it was the complete and total opposite. I can remember the season began. It was the Eastern League, so we began in April. And during the very first week of that season, I had the audacity, I had the nerve, I had the gall to go out there. And during my broadcast early in that game, I mentioned that it was 37 degrees out because this was the Northeast and it was 37 degrees out. And I was painting the word picture for my listener. I was trying to help them feel as if they were at the ballpark. I was explaining that fans were bundled up, that they brought parkas and blankets, and they were huddled together in the seats because it was 37 degrees. All true. The conditions were brutal. We went to a commercial break during one early inning in one of these early games, and the general manager asked me to take my headset off, and he said, "You know, Rick, I don't know why you're talking about the temperature." And I said, "Well, it is 37 degrees, so that's why I said it." And he said, "You can't talk about those kind of things. You need to do what you can to have fans come to the park. You can't tell them something that's going to keep them away." And so, honestly, as a business person, I understood his point. But at the same time, as a broadcast journalist, as a media professional, my job, number one, wasn't to be there as a shill for the team, but not that that had anything to do with this particular situation. My job was to paint the word picture and explain exactly what I was seeing to allow my listener to feel as if he or she was there. So when I saw something on the field, I wanted them to feel as they could see it through my description. I wanted to paint that word picture. And that always includes the atmosphere. It includes what you see, what you hear, what you feel, as if that person was sitting in the seat next to you. And so we had a little argument. It was probably, what, a 90-second argument because we were in a commercial break. And obviously, he was the general manager, so he was the boss. So I think that was just a preview of things to come in the way that he and I dealt with each other over the season. I don't think we ever saw eye to eye because I was there as an objective professional. And I think many general managers still to this day still see you as a broadcaster as a mouthpiece for their team, a promoter of their team. And so in this case, I would answer that question, are sports media professionals independent? In that case, I truly wasn't. Because at the end of the day, he could have pulled the plug on me. He never did. But throughout that season of broadcasting more than 100 games, there were definitely other instances, and the tone had been set. So truly independent? No. Truly independent? No. And that brings me to the next step on my career. And you would think that this step would be the place where I would be constrained to the max. And that just didn't happen. And I will share that one next.
When you're done with this episode, or even if you want to open your browser now, you can go deeper and learn the secrets of sports broadcasting. Search our full list of books at sportscastersclub.com. Available from Amazon and Kindle, paperback, and Audible format.
Welcome back to the Sportscasters Club online radio show. Rick Schultz with you. We're talking about Independence Day, and are sports media professionals truly independent? I told a couple stories already from my career about one instance where I was completely independent and the other where I was not. And this third one, I guess we'll break the tie with this one, was I worked for Army at West Point, broadcasting basketball and hockey, also working on the football broadcasts. And you would think, that working for Army, the United States official, I mean, this is Army, this is West Point, and all the things you think about the way that those cadets comport themselves, just the utmost respect, the tradition. You think of this as a very buttoned-down place, and in a lot of ways it is. But I have to be honest, in all my time working at Army, no one ever came and told me what to say. Not once. And again, I was still relatively young, in my early 20s. No one came to tell me how to describe a game, how to describe anything I was seeing. So all the times we traveled with the basketball team to Duke, to Ohio State, to Vanderbilt, playing all these top teams and having on all kinds of luminaries, the John Feinsteins and Mike Krzyzewskis and all kinds of great people, I was never told at Army who to talk to, what to say, anything, either from West Point, from the United States Military Academy, any kind of government official, or from the radio station that actually paid my checks. So in that case, I felt I was independent. I mean, I felt the weight of the importance of Army, and I know Rich DeMarco and his great team, Dean Darling, Tony Marino, Joe Beckerle, all the wonderful folks that currently broadcast Army games. I used to work with them. I know they feel that too. And I don't know, maybe it's just the fact that the administration knew that I was going to portray them in a truthful light. And it was truthful. When the basketball team was horrible, I did not shy away from telling my listener. I mean, if the team was bad, you have to say it. You have to be truthful. That's where I would draw the line. But I guess it probably always was easy too, because they were such a quality bunch of people, both the players, the team, the administration at the time, the coaching staff. So I didn't really have anything negative to say other than being truthful about some bad basketball at times. Interestingly enough, one of the standout players on those 2 years that I broadcast for Army basketball was Chris Spatola, who's now a national basketball media voice and does some great coaching down in the North Carolina area. So you've probably heard Chris on whether it be satellite radio or seen him on some of these different places. Great guy then, great basketball player. He was the point guard, and he's turned out to be a fantastic media professional as well. But in that case, at West Point, I would have to say that I did feel pretty independent. I mean, they told me when to show up to get on the bus for our trips. They told me how long we were going to be gone. When we traveled on the charter flights, they told me when to be where. And it was my duty to be there, otherwise they'd leave without me. They never did. But I felt I was independent in that situation. So, if we were to answer this question, ultimately, are you independent as a sports media professional? Ultimately, can you say whatever you want to say whenever you want to say it? Can you do what you want to do? Can you beat to your own drum? Can you offer as many hot takes as you want? Use whatever kind of language you want at any time. I would have to answer, if I had to choose yes or no to that one, I'll say no. You're not independent. You're only as independent as the person who pays you and employs you. And that can be a great thing when you're in some of the great situations like I was, and as many media professionals are, where you find a spot that matches your personality, that matches your philosophy. That's great. You can be independent and you can flourish in that scenario. But then you have other situations where maybe your philosophy and that of the head honchos and the bosses differ. And in that case, no, you're not independent, because ultimately they're the ones calling the shots. It just comes to mind that I did a lot of other media work anchoring sports updates at different stations, country stations, rock and roll, alternative rock. And there was always a general manager and a corporate environment that oversaw what happened at each station. And I can't recall ever having anyone tell me what to say or what not to say when I was reporting the news or reporting sports. But I do remember they would say, hey, Rick, tomorrow we need you to do morning news on the oldies station and on the rock and roll station. Or the next day we need you to do the alternative rock station because the newscaster is going to be out for a week. So was I truly independent, wanting to stay just in my niche and with wherever area I was in? The answer is no, I was an employee. And so while I might have been broadcasting sports or news, it truly came down to the employer-employee relationship. Ultimately, some changes were made and I wasn't willing to accept the changes in the way that they were presented to me. And so I made the choice to leave. But that's part of being an independent professional. That's just part of being an employee. Because if you work at a media outlet, a radio station, a conglomerate, a corporate environment, you've got the choice to stay, you've got the choice to go. So in that case, I guess I was free. I was independent. They presented me the situation, the scenario, then it changed, and I was independent to the degree that I could say yes or no. So sports media professionals should not get the wrong idea that they're going to graduate from college. I mean, I worked with so many college students at Fordham, at the Connecticut School of Broadcasting, at Marist College, and a lot of them were so talented, but they had that attitude that they were going to go out there and do things their way regardless. And you know what? I probably had part of that when I was 21 graduating from Fordham and WFUV. Because I probably felt I just learned from Marty Glickman from my college career, and I've already done this, that, and the other thing, interned at FAN, covered Mets, Yankees, Knicks, Rangers, whatever. And I felt I was going to go out there and do the job the way I felt I should do it. And in some places, that's just not the job they want you to do if they hire you. So I would answer the question, are broadcasters truly independent? No, it all depends on who's paying your check. That's what it depends on. Whether you feel free or whether you don't, whether you're truly independent or you're not. So I hope that helps. And before we go, we do have a very interesting question. Oh, this is a good one. A very interesting question that came in. And this could lead to a pretty in-depth, a pretty interesting conversation. I'm going to answer that one in just a moment.
If you're enjoying the show, check out our 7-hour online sports broadcasting course. We cover play-by-play, talk show hosting, television, and much more. Visit sportscastersclub.com and click on online sportscasting class. Now it's time for the best part of our show, your questions, our answers. To ask a question for the program, send an email to questions@sportscastersclub.com.
All right, a fun, action-packed episode of the Sportscasters Club online radio show. As we often do, we got a question that I want to answer. It came in from Tyler in Kennebunk, Maine. Tyler, that's pretty cool because I have spent plenty of time over the past decade in Kennebunkport, right next to Kennebunk, right on the water. What a beautiful, beautiful place. I won't go into it too much now, but it's one of those places you go and you just feel like you're at such peace, just a great place in our fantastic country. A great place to think about. I've been there. In matter of fact, I spent many 4th of Julys in Kennebunkport. So, Tyler, I wonder if you're going to see those fireworks right down there overlooking Mother's Beach, or if you're going to be out near Walker's Point, walking around, wherever you're going to be in Kennebunkport. Maybe Goose Rocks Beach. I mean, sometimes some of the older partiers are at that one, but I was always with my kids, so I was, you know, doing the milk and cookies scene. All right, Tyler sends us in this question, and the question is, how will AI affect sports broadcasting? Wow, Tyler, that gets right to the hot button topic of the day. AI, when I think of AI, you know, it's funny. A lot of people think about Facebook Meta, they think about you know, the metaverse. They think about ChatGPT. They think about Microsoft, NVIDIA. You know what I think about when I think about AI? I think about Tesla. Because I think by the time this decade is done, Tesla will be known as the biggest and most prolific AI company in the history of the world. And I think it might happen a lot sooner than that. But moving along from that, to answer your question, how will AI affect sports broadcasting? This is something we probably should have a whole episode on. And so maybe we'll work on that. That's a great idea for an episode. But Tyler, if I had to answer your question, how will AI impact anything? How's it going to impact? How is it already impacting everything? I think AI is going to impact sports broadcasting tremendously. Tremendously. And I guess one of the questions you're probably thinking about is it going to affect my job, my employment opportunities? I would say yes, because I think it's going to affect that for just about every industry. I was watching a video, a YouTube video yesterday, where the host put some of his data and his programs into ChatGPT, and it spit out his voice doing programs in many different languages. It was his voice with a script. And so it really wasn't him, but it was the artificial intelligence creating a show just from all the data he fed it. And so I do think that kind of thing will happen in sports media. I think you'll have artificial intelligence sports talk shows. How about that? How about that thought? I think you'll have it. I think you'll have it. There's no question. I mean, think about it. When you type in now, tell me the story of the 1973 New York Mets, you can get a whole long essay about it. So why can't that be put to a voice and delivered as a program? It will be. It will be. So talk shows are going to be affected. Anchoring, like the day's news, top of the hour, you get the 2 or 3 minutes of all the sports scores. That might be the first area that succumbs to AI. And I say succumb. I mean, I feel bad for people that are going to lose their jobs, lose their positions. But in the whole scheme of things, it's going to make a lot of parts of the industry a lot more efficient. How about play-by-play? I can foresee an area where play-by-play is affected. Can there be an AI play-by-play person? I don't know. If Tesla's going to have cars driving themselves, picking you up, bringing you from stop A to stop B, and navigating everything that's changing out in the environment, why can't AI be developed that can observe an athletic event and do play-by-play? I think it can. I think it can. Scary. Scary, huh? I think probably a decade from now, you can tune into this program, the Sportscasters Club online radio show, and it's an AI version of Rick Schultz. That's what it'll be. Maybe I'll feed in some parameters and it's going to do the whole thing. Probably it'll develop it in about 30 seconds when it takes me how much time to record, edit, post, do the whole thing on Buzzsprout, put it on YouTube, whatever else I do. It'll probably take care of it in minutes. So, Tyler, we're gonna have to get a little bit more in-depth into that question, maybe in a following episode. But the quick answer to your question, yes, it's going to affect this industry. There's going to be a lot of good, and there's going to be some bad. I mean, I say bad, there's going to be some unfortunate consequences of it too, as there will be in every industry in life, because there are going to be some stumbling blocks and some issues with AI. But that's my thought. Let me know at Sportscasters Club. Let us know what your thoughts are. Post a comment here. Let me know if you think I'm I'm way out there on this one, but I do think it's going to be tremendously affected. So thanks for the question, Tyler. And as always, feel free to send in your questions and we'd be glad to answer them here at sportscastersclub.com. sportscastersclub@gmail.com is a good email you can send those to. I am Rick Schultz, and when I come back, we're going to wrap this puppy up.
Are you enjoying the Sportscasters Club online radio show? If so, please hit the subscribe button so you'll never miss an episode. When we release each new show, you'll be the first to know. So hit the subscribe button in your podcast app today, and we'll keep the awesome, cool, entertaining, and informative material coming.
So now as we wrap up this program, I do have to say that this is really me. It's not the AI version of me. This is the real Rick Schultz and not the AI version. But hopefully you found this interesting as we've talked about how independent is a sports broadcaster? How can you maintain your independence? How can you think about this as you build a career in sports media? And how can you take some steps to maybe be more independent and have a better career because of it, because you put some forethought into it? So it's been a fun topic to talk about. And then obviously we just had a great question that we delved into as well regarding AI and how, the Terminator is going to come and we're all going to be living on Mars soon, driving Teslas and eating plants that we grow on Mars. Who knows? It's all coming. Who knows what it's going to be, but it's going to be interesting nonetheless. So hopefully you've enjoyed this program. I am Rick Schultz. And until next time, take care.
Thanks for listening to the Sportscasters Club radio show at sportscastersclub.com. Don't forget to subscribe so you will never miss an episode. And thanks for liking, sharing, posting reviews, and spreading the word.